Romans Chapter 2 Sermons by Paul C. Jong Sermon 1 Only those who have received circumcision in the heart will survive on that day. Romans Chapter 2, verses 1 through 16 Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Beloved saints, the Apostle Paul revealed in detail the sins of people who left God in the latter half of Romans chapter 1. From sexual immorality, greed, envy, and murder, to disobeying parents, heartlessness, and ruthlessness, he reflected like a mirror how much the true nature of a person who has left God is stained with sin. However, there were people who nodded their heads while listening to that list. They were the people who inwardly condemned, saying, "Such people rightfully deserve to be judged." Namely, the Jews who had the law and the religious people. As Paul enters chapter 2, he turns the target of his rebuke to them. The standard of judging others first reveals myself. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Here, the word therefore is not simply a passing word. This word means, I ask you, who were condemning others while listening to what I just said. Paul intends to reveal the contradiction where one says with their mouth that they hate sin, but in their actual life, the same sins are being repeated. The law is holy and right. But there is not a single person in this world who can keep that law completely without breaking a single jot or tittle. Therefore, a person who judges others based on the law reveals that they themselves are also first under judgment before that standard. If so, we must clearly know one thing. When a person who has not received the removal of sins stands in the position of judging others, the very first target of condemnation is himself. Jesus had the sins of all humanity transferred to him at once by receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and he completely bore the price of those sins on the cross. For a person who tries to establish their own righteousness by their own deeds without accepting this gospel, the more they judge others based on the law, the more clearly their own sins are revealed. A truly righteous person is not one who condemns others, but one who gives thanks to the Lord who bore their sins. Despising the goodness of God accumulates wrath. The Apostle Paul then points out a more serious problem. It is the fact that religious people experience the goodness of God, but completely fail to fathom its meaning. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. What is the reason God does not destroy sinners immediately, but endures with long-suffering and gives them a chance for repentance? It is to turn sinners from sin and lead them to the truth of true salvation, that is, the gospel of the water and the Spirit. However, a religious person mistakenly thinks of God's long-suffering as, God is just letting it pass because I am still a decent person. While receiving God's abundant mercy, they do not know where God's mercy is leading them, and they despise that mercy itself. Therefore, Paul strongly rebukes, "Do you despise?" Here the words, "hardness and your impenitent heart," should not be read simply as a stubbornness of personality. This points to the spiritual obstinacy of not accepting the way of salvation sent by God even after hearing it, because that way clashes with one's religious pride. Then what is true repentance? Repentance does not stop at realizing one's faults and shedding tears. The essence of repentance is turning back by answering yes in one's heart to the two declarations God shouts toward the sinner. The word, "You are a sinner," and the word, "I have saved you through the gospel of the water and the Spirit." Repentance without these two responses may remain as a temporary prick of conscience rather than true repentance. How heavy is this word, treasuring up for yourself wrath? If a person only knows and believes in the blood of the cross without knowing the meaning of Jesus' baptism, the sin in their heart remains unresolved just as it is, and the unresolved sin will be revealed as the basis for judgment for that person on the day of wrath. There is only one way to receive the obliteration of sins at once. It is to accept in one's heart that Jesus had the sins of all humanity transferred to him through the baptism he received from John the Baptist, and that he completely bore the price of those sins on the cross. The destination to which God's goodness leads the sinner is exactly that gospel. If one insists on the framework of their old faith even after hearing that gospel, they cannot avoid the tragedy of remaining under greater wrath as a result of rejecting God's goodness. God does not take a person by their outward appearance. Then, by what principle does God's judgment come? The Apostle Paul declares like this, "Who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. If you read this word at a glance, it sounds as if a person obtains salvation by deeds. However, looking at the flow of the entire book of Romans, it is not so. Paul soon clearly states, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verse 10, and asserts, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight." Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, this text is not a word that opens the way to be saved by deeds. Rather, by first revealing the fact that God's judgment comes righteously according to what each person has done, it is a word that reveals that no one can stand before God with their own righteousness in front of that righteous standard. Then who is the one, those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality? Romans chapter 2, verse 7. This does not simply point to a morally good person. Glory, honor, and immortality are attributes completely revealed in the resurrected Christ. Therefore, the person who seeks this is a person who longs for the righteousness of Christ, not their own righteousness. That is, it is a person who believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit to receive the blotting out of sins, and runs toward the goal holding on to that received righteousness until the end. Conversely, those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, Romans chapter 2, verse 8, points to a person who does not obey the truth, that is, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and tries to gain comfort within their own religious standards and gatherings. Here, there is one word we must clearly engrave. It is the word, "For there is no partiality with God. Neither the lineage of being a Jew, nor the mark of circumcision received in the flesh, nor the pride of having received the law, can become the basis of righteousness before God. The morality or conscience possessed by Gentiles is the same." We must become those who believe and follow only Jesus, who had the sins of humanity transferred to him through baptism, was crucified to shed blood, and gave salvation to those who believe through his death and resurrection. The word, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek," shows together the fact that this gospel of the water and the Spirit breaks down all ethnic barriers while simultaneously holding all people to the same responsibility. The law does not justify the hearer, but justifies the one who has received the removal of sins by believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. The Apostle Paul declares that regardless of the presence or absence of the law, all people will stand before the same judgment seat. "For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Gentiles who did not receive the law perish without the law, and Jews who received the law are judged by that law. This means that whether one has the law or not does not determine the existence of judgment, but merely that the standard of judgment becomes different. The more one is a Jew who received the law, the heavier the judgment they receive under that precise standard, and Gentiles who did not receive the law are judged by the standard of conscience engraved in their nature. Thus, in the end, the fact that all people are under sin is revealed. This word, "not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified," is a word that once again reveals and tears down religious self-righteousness. Jews who heard the law every week in the synagogue, taught that law and boasted in the law, considered themselves righteous simply by the fact that they knew the law. However, God does not acknowledge a person as a righteous man merely by the fact that they heard and memorized the law. He acknowledges as a righteous man only the person who has done the entire law without missing a single jot or tittle. But what is the problem? It is the fact that there is not a single person who has done the law like that. It is exactly as the Apostle James said, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." James chapter 2, verse 10. If so, is this word trying to drop us into despair? No, this word is not a declaration of despair, but a bridge leading to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The law is originally a tutor given to make a person realize that they are a sinner and to make them kneel before the Savior. The word that not the hearer of the law is righteous, but the doer is righteous, points out that because a person has no ability to do the entire law, they must obtain salvation through another way. That other way is exactly believing that Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John the Baptist, was crucified and shed blood, resurrected from death, and became the Savior of those who believe in this salvation of truth. The law reveals sin, but the gospel word of the water and the Spirit leads us to the ministry of Jesus who saved us from all sins. God judges even the secret sins that cannot be hidden by human conscience or the law. The Apostle Paul now shifts his gaze to the Gentiles who did not receive the law. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Even if they are Gentiles to whom the law was not given, there is a conscience in their hearts that discerns right and wrong, so that conscience plays the role of the law. It is because God the Creator planted a moral sense in the hearts of all people. Therefore, Gentiles also experience the accusation and excuse of their conscience regarding the things they have done, leaving evidence of judgment within themselves. Here, there is one thing we must look into deeply. It is the fact that conscience does not only accuse a person, but sometimes also excuses oneself. This word means that conscience is not an absolute standard of righteousness, but a standard that can be broken and distorted. Therefore, an attempt to establish one's own righteousness by conscience is bound to fail. The fact that one's conscience is alive and feels shame is evidence that there is sin inside that person, not evidence that the person is righteous. Whether a Jew who has the law or a Gentile who did not receive the law and only has the evidence of conscience, all have one mirror each that reveals sin within themselves. And there is not a single person who is innocent before that mirror. What is the climax of this text? It is in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Human judgment stays on what is visible. However, God's judgment reveals even the most secret parts of the heart. And the one who becomes the standard of that judgment is exactly Jesus Christ. Jesus became the one who saved us from the judgment of sin by having the sins of the world transferred to Jesus' body through the baptism he received from John and being crucified. The fact is that a person who has accepted the truth of salvation of the Lord's baptism and the blood of the cross in their heart has already been cleansed even of the most secret sins of that heart, and therefore will stand before the Lord without fear on that day. It is not a mark carved in the flesh, but the circumcision of salvation received in the heart. Beloved saints, Romans chapter 2 finally reaches an important conclusion. After sequentially revealing the fact that neither a person who has the law, nor a person who did not receive the law and only has the evidence of conscience, nor a person who received circumcision in the flesh can stand with their own righteousness before God's judgment seat, the Apostle Paul leads all these arguments to the conclusion of circumcision of the heart. A true Jew is not a person determined by outward appearance, but a person who has received circumcision in the heart. Then what must we hold on to? We are not to boast of the mark carved in the flesh, neither the pride of knowing the law, nor religious career, nor the trembling of conscience can save us before the judgment of that day. God does not look at the outward appearance, but looks even into the most secret places of the heart. Therefore, what we need is only one thing: the circumcision received in the heart. What is that circumcision of the heart? It is believing that Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to his body by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, completely paid the price of those sins with the blood he shed on the cross, and eternally saved those who believe from sin by resurrecting 3 days after he died. A person who has received this gospel in their heart no longer tries to condemn others, because they know how great their own sin was and how that sin was completely washed away. A confession of thanks for being saved comes out of that person's lips, rather than words of condemnation. He does not despise the goodness of God, but stays before the gospel word of salvation to which that goodness leads. He does not remain under wrath, but tries to receive the obliteration of sins by believing in the righteousness of God. At the place where the condemnation of the law ends, the righteousness of the gospel starts by faith. Circumcision of the flesh cannot save us from sin, and the salvation we received in our hearts, by believing in the baptism Jesus received from John and the blood of the cross, testifies that we have become children of God. On that day, the day when Jesus Christ will judge the secrets of men, who is the person that can stand without fear? Only the person who has received circumcision in the heart. That is, the person who has already been washed of all sins by accepting the gospel of the water and the Spirit with their heart. Beloved saints, I hope that all of us hold on to the gospel word of the water and the Spirit by faith and live as true people of God who can stand boldly in glory, honor, and peace on that day. Hallelujah.